Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Talk Live, where you're invited to get control of the airwaves and talk about whatever is important to you. 603-283-6160 is the call in line if you'd like to do that. Again, that number is 603-283-6160. With you in the studio tonight is Aria.
Bonnie.
Hey, it's Ian.
And lots of interesting stuff to go the way of lots of stuff that we've had for just several days now that we wanted to get into, but more interesting conversations keep directing us away from these things like Google going woke. Matt, I think I brought that in last week, if I recall correctly. I don't remember exactly when I brought that in. But they're policing people's languages. Central African Republic, which is the name of the country, is officially taking cryptocurrency as, I think it's one of their, what's the one?
Legal tender.
Legal tenders. So interesting stuff going on. Fort Worth, of course, is now also mining Bitcoin, and the Shanghai lockdowns just keep getting worse. But something that just came out today that I really want to get into is how U.S. tech giants are being duped into giving up data that is being used to sexually extort minors.
And this is crazy.
It is crazy. And this is a result of the overbearing legal system that we have. And that's why I like this story so much, because it just shows how afraid or how accustomed Discord and Twitter and Apple and Facebook and all of these other tech giants are to getting warrants from federal agents and police departments that they don't even question it anymore. They just turn over whatever information is being requested because they probably don't have the legal team to actually go through all of these warrants that they get on
and
a daily basis. Yeah. So the failure to do that is resulting in nonsense like this. So let's get into it. Major technology companies have been duped into providing sensitive personal information about their customers in response to fraudulent legal requests. And the data has been used to harass and even sexually extort minors, according to four federal law enforcement officials and two industry investigators. So it's not even like random people who have been victims of this are finally coming out saying, hey, this happened to me. No, the government themselves, the ones who created this situation, are coming around saying, hey, look, yeah, this may be an issue. Of course, they're not pointing to the reality of the calls here, which is, you know, an abundance of an abundance of warrants that these companies don't have the manpower to process. The companies that have complied with the bogus requests include...
Well, the company's probably just determined that it's easier to just comply. Oh, it looks like it came from a law enforcement email address.
From what I can tell, that seems to be the case, yes.
So,
and
do it.
It must mean that they get so many real warrants that it's believable.
That's my understanding of it. So this is including Meta. That's Facebook, by the way.
It reminds me of the stories that you'll see from time to time about some guy who cooks up an invoice or more than one, and sends it to the accounts receivable department at Google or Facebook or some other massive mega corporation, and they just go, oh, we owe this guy some money, and they cut a check.
Does that actually work? This is the first I've ever heard about that.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
They get caught for when they get caught for it, they get hit with mail fraud or whatever charges. But,
sure.
But, yeah, there's people who have earned hundreds of thousands of dollars, and I saw one story about a guy that pulled in millions or something from Google doing this.
Wow.
That's nuts, man. I've never heard of that.
When they just have so much money and they buy so many different things, they're just like, oh, it makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably it. I mean, if you send Google an invoice for, you know, $5,000 or $6,000, that's nothing to them.
Sure.
They're probably not even going to look into that. That would be a bad idea. If Google doesn't owe you $5,000 or $6,000, don't send them an invoice for $5,000 or $6,000.
No.
But it is very similar to that.
It gives you an idea for how bureaucratic some of these big corporations are, and it's just, it's easier for them to just comply, in this case with the fake warrant, than it is for them to verify the warrant or to challenge the warrant or whatever on behalf of their customer. They certainly won't stand up for their customers at any point. They'll do whatever they're told to do.
Yes, and this is including Twitter, Discord, Google, Snapchat, Apple, and again, Meta. All of the people requested anonymity to speak frankly about the devious new brand of online crime that involves underage victims. The fraudulently obtained data has been used to target specific women and minors, and in some cases to pressure them into creating and sharing sexually explicit material and to retaliate against them if they refuse. So I can imagine if you're some 16-year-old girl, whatever age girl on Snapchat, and someone says, hey, look, I ended up finding out your exact address, and I know exactly where to find you, and here's your mom's maiden name and your phone number and all of this stuff, and they're like, send me some nudes or I'm going to pay you a visit. I wouldn't be surprised to find that these minors are actually doing it.
Yeah, I wonder what they are being threatened with in the event that they are being threatened. Is it some sort of physical attack? Is it that, oh, I'm going to tell all your secrets to...
Yeah, that's what I was thinking at first. Like, we found this dirty picture, and we'll post it if you don't send us more or something like that.
I've gotten those before. I mean, those are common. I mean, just regular spammers send those out. And he's like, okay, fine, post it, dude. Have a good time. Send me a link when you're done.
Well, you have a different attitude, I think, about it than
that's
maybe
true. Most
your
people
average
probably
teenager.
Freak out. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely from the average teenager. It just says they're threatening to retaliate against them if they refuse. It doesn't go into specifics beyond that. The tactic is considered by law enforcement and other investigators to be the newest criminal tool to obtain personally identifiable information that can be used not only for financial gain but to harass and extort innocent victims.
Well, you also mentioned Snapchat was in that list, right?
Well, it said Snap. I assume Snap is the owner of Snapchat.
Yeah. So, Snapchat, as I understand it, is a temporary file sending thing, meaning that you send an image to a friend. It may only last for 10 seconds or a minute or whatever. I presume you can select that.
I think you can view it twice is how it works. And the first time they're notified, and the second time afterwards you can no longer open it again.
Is that true, Bonnie?
Yeah, you can... I don't know if you get unlimited of those. Like, you can just keep opening every single Snap you get twice, but... Yeah, you can at least do that.
But here's the thing. They still have a file on their servers. They don't delete.
Is that forever?
As long as they damn well feel like keeping it. And they probably keep it for some number of years just to cover their ass for legal requirements or whatever.
That's true. Snapchat is not end-to-end encrypted. Any picture sent through Snapchat passes
through
their servers, and it probably sits there for a very long time.
Which makes me think...
How much would they have to pay to be saving every single picture of, like, somebody's breakfast?
Space is cheap. I mean, it's hard drive space doesn't cost a lot of money.
Yeah, Google has massive data centers, and I mean they're able to handle YouTube. So I can imagine
These are compressed images. I mean, they're not going to be. It's going to be big, but it's not going to be a big deal for a mega corporation. So that leads me to believe, and maybe it gets into the specifics as far as what these scammers are getting away with as far as responses are concerned. Because it's one thing to ask for somebody's home address or whatever, and of course Snapchat probably doesn't have that information. They may have geographic information.
They probably do have geographic information. And
most people public, which blows my mind.
It doesn't matter. Snapchat has it. They're sending the word to Snapchat saying, hey, we need the geolocation of this user. Well, Snapchat goes, okay, you have a, quote, warrant. Right. Here you go.
The odds are, if they are interested in seeing what someone has posted, they could request the entire history of photographs from an individual user, knowing the likelihood that teenagers, more so these days maybe than, you know, in previous decades, are likely to be taking nude photos of themselves and perhaps sending them to a boyfriend or a girlfriend or whatever, not realizing, of course, that Snapchat likely saves a copy of the database somewhere. So therefore,
wouldn't that make them guilty of possession of child pornography?
Not if they didn't knowingly have it. But yes, from a technical standpoint, yes, they probably have quite a bit.
But they'll never get prosecuted over it.
No. But this does suggest that if these scam artists are able to send a fake warrant to Snapchat and return all kinds of data on a specific user, they may be able to pull the entire history of that user's snaps. And that may be what they're using to blackmail. They may say, oh, well, you know, we've got all these pictures now of you in these revealing photos that you sent to your boyfriend. We're going to send that on, you know, whatever. What do they call it when you break up with somebody? Revenge porn. The revenge porn sites. We're going to post it to the revenge porn sites unless you do X, Y, or Z. That's my speculation.
Doesn't it require a phone number to sign up for Snapchat?
I think so, or an email.
But don't recall now. Well, I mean, email can easily be spoofed, but it's much harder to, like, spoof a cell phone number. And I suspect most teens probably don't know how to do it. And then you can look up, you know, exactly where that person's located, which just helps you find them. More about this coming up, because it's a problem, and it needs to be addressed. 603-283-6160. You're welcome to weigh in. It's Free Talk Live.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Are you ready to retire? Inflation is picking up, the markets are volatile, and the dream of a comfortable retirement is harder to attain than ever before. The stock market goes up and down is beyond your control. But you're at a point in your life where you can't afford to make big financial mistakes. I'm Al Ivarroa, founder of Knight Strategic Wealth. Our investment strategy allows you to go up with the stock market, lock in your gains, and when the stock market goes down, your investment won't lose a dime. This works for your investments, savings at a brokerage firm, or even money at a bank. It's simple, it's safe, and that's why savvy investors work with us. Want to learn more? Text FREE to 833-898-0500, and we'll send our retirement readiness kit directly to your phone right now. If you want to help build a retirement portfolio that will go up with the market and literally never lose money, get our retirement readiness kit today and see how this strategy can help secure your future. Text FREE to 833-898-0500. Text FREE to 833-898-0500.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork. You know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live, and coming up in just over a month and a half, I think, or just short of 2 months, actually. Let's go with that. Is Fork Fest. You can find it at forkfest.party. It is an alternative to the Porcupine Freedom Festival for those who want to attend a libertarian gathering and aren't able to actually get tickets to the Porcupine Freedom Festival. Fork Fest is the alternative for you. You can find that at forkfest.party. Again, that's forkfest.party. I'm currently planning to be there. I put in the request with my federal handler several days ago, even though it's actually not necessary, as I understand it, because I'm allowed to come and go within the United States as much as I want, according to my release conditions. But, you know, it's always good to have the person who can throw me back in jail happy with me. So,
sure.
You know, if that eases the process, I'm totally fine with that. So that's forkfest.party. Come hang out with us. Some of us at least will be there. Even if I'm not there, and I can't imagine why I wouldn't be there, someone from Free Talk Live will be there. So check it out. That's forkfest.party. We're talking here about Discord, Snapchat, one suspiciously absent place. That would be TikTok. But the rest of these, Google, Meta, Twitter, and I hate calling Facebook Meta because everyone understands that it's Facebook. Discord and a large number of other big tech companies are being hit with these, quote, attackers who are successfully impersonating law enforcement officers, presumably serving up fraudulent warrants saying, hey, we want information about this person, we want everything you have, and the tech companies are just turning that information over.
But could you do that to a Chinese entity saying you were the United States? Because that's what TikTok is, Chinese.
I suspect
they have a U.S. division, probably.
I suspect that they could do that, and they probably, you know, the law enforcement agents would probably get what they want. But I'm not sure how much information the TikTok really has on people that isn't already publicly available by going to their profile and looking at their videos, right?
They could have, like, conversations, because there is, like, a way to have conversations
on there.
Oh, is there?
Mm-hmm. Okay. See, I've never used TikTok, so I probably should do that as some way. Free Talk Live is on TikTok, incidentally enough. You can find that at TikTok.FreeTalkLive.com. But anyway, this latest tactic of just random scammers and fraudsters out there emailing these tech companies demanding information, creating fake warrants or whatever, it's impossible for victims to protect against because you have no control over the information that Discord or Twitter. The only way you can protect against this,
don't go there,
is to not be on these tech platforms. Otherwise, your well-being is in the hands of Facebook and Twitter and Discord and Snapchat, and you're relying on them to have the courage to say, hey, look, something seems off about this warrant, or we need to see that this has actually been sealed by a magistrate or a judge or whatever, and they're evidently just not requiring that.
It takes a long time, I imagine, to verify that a warrant is legitimate, right? Like, you can't just call up most courts.
Yeah, it might be sealed.
Yeah, you would probably have to have an attorney reach out or whatever and verify that.
But don't you think that's their responsibility?
It should be.
I mean, if I was running a tech company, that's what I would do. Oh, you got a warrant? All right. Well, first of all, before I give you anything, I need to see that warrant.
They could probably call the agent, right? Because you wouldn't have to call the court as much as you could call just the agent from whichever department. So if it's Travis County, Texas, or whatever, you could call that sheriff's department and say, hey, I have a warrant here from such and such agent, you know, Mr. Smith, and then get Mr. Smith on the line and verify that he really did put this in. That would be one way to do it.
That would be a relatively efficient way of doing it, too, because if Mr. Smith, if they go, oh, no, we don't have a Mr. Smith working here, then
fake.
Yeah, you have found your problem. It's not clear how often the fraudulent data requests have been used to sexually extort minors, but law enforcement and the technology companies are still trying to assess the scope of the problem. Since the requests appear to come from legitimate police agencies, so they're probably using just slightly off URLs from which to send emails. So instead of like KeenPD.com. They have KeenPD.com.
Or
they don't
just
have the E or whatever.
They're just faking the from area on the email, and they're...
How easy is it to do that? I would imagine that's fairly difficult.
It's pretty easy to do it, but it depends on whether or not, and I'm not a IT admin, but having dealt with some email changes on our systems recently, I can say that there's some technicals in the background of how you set up your email system that you can better believe governments probably screwed this up, and so they probably made it so that anybody who wants to pretend as though they're the such-and-such police department can do that because they have their system set up incorrectly, and that just could allow a spammer to easily get in there and spoof an email from them.
So with these requests appearing to come from legitimate police agencies, it's difficult for companies to know when they have been tricked into giving out user data. Nonetheless, the law enforcement officials and investigators said it appears the method has become more prevalent in recent months. Police departments are going to have to focus on preventing account compromises with multi-factor authentication. So
how the hell are the police going to prevent this?
This is the chief security officer at Facebook who's now saying this. So he's pushing the responsibility onto the police because he doesn't want to admit that this is Facebook's fault.
So he's suggesting that the police are actually having their accounts compromised and that these requests are legitimately coming from real police addresses. That's what he sounds like he's saying there.
Yeah, but that's probably not true. I can't
imagine.
It seems
less likely to be true.
Yeah, I can't imagine how I want to use the word courageous, how willing to engage in risk one has to be to hack a police officer's official email and then use that to try to extort Discord. And even then, even if you do hack the officer's email, that doesn't give you any access to the ability to create one of these fake warrants.
Well, isn't there a way to do it without hacking the email if the at blah, blah, blah is like hosted by something else? Because I feel like I've heard of that happening with somebody we know who has an at Free Talk Live. Somebody warned him that they can make it look like they sent an email from there, but they didn't actually hack his email.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was referring to earlier. There's a way that you can do that. It's not that complicated. It just depends on how your system is set up, whether or not it's going to succeed. Like, you can send an email pretending to be so-and-so at Free Talk Live, but if we've got our email system set up correctly, then that should go into the, you know, the spam folder of whoever it is that is receiving it, or there should be a warning on it saying, oh, this doesn't look like it was actually sent by Free Talk Live. Those warnings will come up. You might have seen them on, if you have a Google account or something like that, and you get an email from somebody that's not who they claim to be.
Well, unfortunately,
but either way, I just want to go on here. Either way, you should still buyer beware when it comes to emails. If there's even a chance that you're not certain you've received an email from somebody who you were expecting to receive it from, contact that person in a different manner, perhaps by phone or whatever other way you have to reach out to them, and verify that it was them who sent it to you, especially if there's a suspicious attachment to it.
Excellent advice. And I didn't know it until recently when all of this email stuff regarding freetalklive.com, as you mentioned, the email system was recently overhauled. I didn't realize just how bad for security email actually is. I just always assumed that anything sent via email was going to be compromised, but it's extremely difficult to actually have a secure email server. There's more coming up. It's Free Talk.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The number of Americans concerned with the coronavirus pandemic is hitting a record low. Tim Malloy says 74% of Americans believe the spread of COVID-19 is under control, according to the Quinnipiac University poll, and 54% don't believe masks should be required on airplanes or public transit. 65% of Americans say they'd be comfortable taking public transit without a mask mandate. The UN Secretary General is meeting with the Ukrainian president and the country's foreign minister this week. That's according to a UN spokesperson. Antonio Guterres just arriving in Kyiv from Poland, where he thanked the president for the Polish people opening their homes to Ukrainian refugees. At the closing bell, the Dow gained 61 points to close at 33,301. This is USA Radio News. President Biden and the First Lady are paying tribute to the 2022 National Teacher of the Year. Kurt Russell is a veteran high school history teacher in Oberlin, Ohio. During a White House event, Russell saying good teachers are invested into the wholeness of a child. President Biden talks about the important work that teachers do and how it impacts kids across the country.
I wonder how I got here. I got here because of my parents and my teachers. And so, folks, you know, that idea is exemplified by the National Teacher of the Year.
Disney is claiming Florida's move to dissolve its special self-governing district is illegal. The Miami Herald reporting Disney sent a message to shareholders saying that eliminating the Reedy Creek Improvement District violates a pledge the state made when it enacted the district in 1967. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last two decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendovite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The seven herbs in Extendovite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendovite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendovite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Come and join us, 603-283-6160, if you'd like to do that. Again, that's 603-283-6160. With you in the studio tonight, it's Aria.
And Bonnie.
And Ian.
And interesting stuff happening in the cryptocurrency world. Of course, that's true in general, I think. I mean, one way or another, something interesting is always happening in cryptocurrency. I've got a story here that we're going to get into later about how Intuit, that's the company behind QuickBooks and TurboTax, and evidently MailChimp, they're facing a class action lawsuit where users of the Trezor crypto wallet, which I don't know anything about it other than I think it's a hardware wallet.
It is.
Yep.
Were targeted as a result of one of Intuit's employees falling for a phishing email attack. But we've had it for a few days, a story about Eric Voorhees, who is the founder and former CEO of Shapeshift.io, which is a platform that allows people to shapeshift one cryptocurrency into other cryptocurrencies for a small fee. At one point, I loved Shapeshift, and they implemented KYC, which is know your customer. And then they were like, we're going to get rid of the KYC, and we're going to become a decentralized, autonomous organization.
A lot of people were upset when Shapeshift went to know your customer requirements, and it was just this shocking.
It's understandable.
Shocking. It is understandable, but it was also shocking, because Eric Voorhees is a very principled libertarian. He's actually a former amplifier here on Free Talk Live from back in the day, from way back before he was crypto Eric Voorhees, back when he was just libertarian Eric Voorhees, who was looking at moving to New Hampshire as part of the Free State Project and attending Liberty Forum. And
did he?
Yeah, that's when we, he actually did actually move here for a time, and then after he founded Shapeshift, moved out to Colorado, and since then I think they've moved their corporate center to Zug, Switzerland, and now the corporate center is gone because they got so much pushback. And I know he didn't want to do it. I mean, I never asked him personally about it, but just knowing Eric, he never would have wanted to implement KYC. So they must have had a gun to his head. They must have been threatening
him. That's the general rumor that goes around in libertarian circles. I think that's probably accurate.
Yeah. So, but they, you know, they implemented it because at the time there wasn't any other way to do it from there. I'm sure they looked, right? I'm sure they considered other options. They didn't have it. And then finally they came up with, and it took a few years. I think they implemented KYC in, like, I don't know, I'm thinking 2018, 2017 or 2019, somewhere in that range.
I don't remember when it was, but it was around the same time that they released the Shapeshift token, if I recall correctly, right?
The Fox token.
Yes, because otherwise you couldn't even have an account with it. Well, I guess you could have had an account with the token in it, even if you didn't have a KYC'd account with Shapeshift. It was all very confusing, but I think it was around the same time. My understanding of it was that it felt like that was sort of a bone being thrown out to people, like, look, we're sorry, we kind of have to do this, but here you get these free tokens. They're useless, but
a lot of people dropped off. I don't know what their business looked like before and after, but I suspect it was a precipitous decline in transactions, because there's always somebody out there somewhere in the world, you know, not based in the United States, that's willing to run a website that'll let you switch cryptos without having an account. And there have been those things since then and still to this day.
The issue I always had with it wasn't, okay, look, in theory, I understand. You know, sometimes you just have to KYC if you're dealing with crypto. So I never really objected to that. My issue was that doing it properly and having a complicated password, I was constantly having to create a new account in order to, you know, shift into one cryptocurrency or another, because I couldn't remember what 47... you know, character password I was using for this particular account, or even what email address was tied to which password. It was not, and it was not very well handled on my end.
So they announced last year, and this was something I actually had in my show prep for almost a year at this point. It happened in the summer of 2021, and we just never got to it. It was one of those things that was cool, but we just never ended up discussing it. And I'm glad we get to talk about it now, because now we are 6 months into their experiment of changing from a centralized corporation with a board of directors and a CEO and managers and customer service employees and the whole pyramidal
attorneys and all
yeah,
of
attorneys.
A physical place.
A physical location to a decentralized autonomous organization. And for listeners that don't know what that is,
it's a DAO.
Those are the acronym. But what it means is a newer terminology that came out within the last decade. Arguably, Dash, the cryptocurrency, is the first DAO. There was another one in Ethereum that failed miserably, and people lost millions of dollars worth of Ethereum. And that was what they actually, when they split Ethereum into Ethereum and Ethereum Classic, because one branch of Ethereum said, we're not going to undo this this mistake. And then
as they shouldn't have. That was Ethereum Classic, and that's why I've always been a supporter of Ethereum Classic, because I get it, man. Having a hack sucks on your cryptocurrency network, but if you want people to have faith in it, you just say, well, that sucks, man, but the code, they didn't violate the code as it was written at the time. You can change the code afterward, but you can't retcon the blockchain like Ethereum did.
Does Vitalik, I don't know his last name, still, does he, like, support both Ethereum?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I never thought about it.
Vitalik is the creator or the person who is programming Ethereum, right?
Yeah. You never hear him talking about Ethereum Classic, so I suspect not. But anyway, not to go too far astride there. The centralized autonomous organizations, you know, some of them work out. and some of them don't. And so this is actually apparently the very first time that a centralized organization has transitioned. Because normally a decentralized autonomous organization is started from scratch as a DAO. That's it wasn't anything before. They created this thing out of nothing, and they have a DAO. The Shapeshift was an existing centralized corporation, a very successful one, one that had been around for many years. And so they interviewed Eric Voorhees over at Medium.com at the official Shapeshift account. And a question, what were the main catalysts behind the transformation of Shapeshift? He says the serious discussion to transition into a DAO began in December of 2020 and continued for a few months with other leaders in the company and the executive team. We communicated it to the whole company in May and then announced it publicly in July of 2021. The decision had three main rationales, one ideological, one strategic, and one tactical. The ideological one was that the ethos of crypto is decentralization, immutability, openness, and borderlessness. Thanks. And a centralized company is at odds with all of those things.
So did the people have to unanimously agree, like everyone in this company had to agree?
I suspect it was just the board of directors that had to agree.
Were they a publicly traded company?
No.
Okay. But they still had a board of directors just because of how they were set up. It wasn't just Eric Voorhees, CEO, making whatever decision he wanted.
Well, maybe they didn't have a board of directors, but their executive team, whoever the hell it is that, right. that was at the top of this corporation. And so he says, a centralized company is at odds with all of those things. This ethos is what initially attracted me to Bitcoin in May of 2011. He's old school when it comes to crypto, right? That's like almost the very beginning. He says, in its incorporated state, Shapeshift was out of step with the industry's culture. Decentralization enabled that culture to be embraced once again into the heart of Shapeshift. He says, the second reason was strategic. We saw how fast and innovative these open protocols were. We felt they were moving faster than we ever could. They had fewer gatekeepers and much more flexibility and dynamism. Strategically, we thought this was the best way for Shapeshift to thrive in this environment long term, even though short term such a transition would be very disruptive to our own roadmap. And what he's referring to when he's talking about open protocols, he's referring to what's called decentralized finance in the, right. the industry.
And these things exist already. There's a new one of these that just came out within the last few months or a year or whatever. I don't know because I've been able to use cryptocurrency in quite a long time. Mm-hmm. But it allows people, previously these decentralized exchanges, you could just swap one Ethereum token for another.
That's right.
But now there's a new one, one of these decentralized autonomous organizations produced a decentralized cryptocurrency exchange where you can actually transfer or translate one cryptocurrency into almost any other.
Which one's that?
I don't recall.
About ThorChain?
I think so.
It's not almost any other. It's a limited number of them, but it's some of the big ones that are out there. They're starting with, you know, you can't start with
more than
bunch.
Anyone else.
There's nothing else like ThorChain that I'm aware of.
And Shapeshift was the closest, I think.
Eric Voorhees was promoting ThorChain a year ago, and he has adopted that into Shapeshift. There's more coming up here. This is Free Talk Live. We'll talk about the success of the DAO or not.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperT.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
And we're talking about Bitcoin here. Well, not really. We're actually talking about Shapeshift and decentralized autonomous organizations. But apparently, Eric Voorhees, who was the founder of Shapeshift, is like an OG Bitcoin dude from 2011.
And he's still principled.
Yeah, I don't know what the value of Bitcoin was around then, but I did see someone shared it with me on social media today. I don't remember exactly when or why, but it was this guy who was laughing because Bitcoin crashed from $2.74 per down to like $1.50 per, and he retweeted saying, "Man, I'm really glad I didn't buy that garbage." And now,
wow.
And now he's looking back. I go, and now the tweet is just him saying, "Oh, wow, I really was an idiot, wasn't I?"
Damn,
like, dude! If I had known about Bitcoin back when it was, you know, $2.74 per, I wouldn't have spent, you know, $5,000 or anything like that on it. But I would have bought, you know, $100, maybe $100 worth.
I
that would have been a good move.
Can't say that I would have, because I first heard about Bitcoin in like 2016. And I heard about it because Peter Schiff, I don't know why, I like followed him on Facebook. I just thought he was really smart and interesting. And he would always post like, "This Bitcoin crap is a bubble." And I was like, I believe him because he's really smart. Sounds like bad stuff.
See, what's interesting to me is that I can say fairly confident that I would have done that because I do have some old phone that had a broke screen on it that it's just completely disassembled that I didn't even bring with me when I moved away from Mississippi because it just didn't have anything of value to me on it other than, you know, trace amounts of cryptocurrency. But I got to tell you, if Bitcoin hits $1 million per coin, that phone's probably going to be worth ringing up my sister and be like, "Hey, do you still have that old phone that broke a long time ago?" She probably doesn't, but I mean...
Then you'll have to go look through dumpsters.
It would be lost at that point. But I'm just saying, you know, that's probably what would have happened realistically if I'd bought, you know, $100 worth of Bitcoin back in 2011 or whenever it was worth $2. It probably would have wound up on some phone or laptop or something that was broken and that would be sitting there in storage or in a landfill somewhere rotting away. The landfills around the United States, to be honest, they're probably filled with discarded phones and laptops that have Bitcoin on them.
And they'll never be retrieved.
Ever. Because even if you could get in there, you know, you're probably not going to find that one. Everyone wants to, this was way more popular a few years ago. Everyone wanted to find that one computer that had a stash of 5,000 bitcoins on it. So they were out there buying used computers. And so no one ever found anything.
You find a whole bunch that had nothing on it, and then you would have dug through trash.
Yeah, for no reason. Or you would have, you know, bought a $50 Dell desktop that was just completely worthless, and then it proved to be completely worthless because it didn't have Bitcoin on it. But we do have Dave Ridley calling from RidleyReport.com. Dave, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, folks. You know, tell me if we've already talked about this, and I've got a backup topic, but I wanted to tell you about something that happened a couple months ago that kind of got passed over. Most people didn't really notice that this happened, but I think it was very interesting. You remember when the state reps were having a debate on the House floor about the New Hampshire Independence Amendment, this constitutional amendment that would allow the residents to vote on whether they want to remain in the United States?
Was that really a few months ago?
March, I think, maybe?
The House, maybe.
It was early March.
Okay, I feel better knowing that it was just like, okay. Because you say months ago, I'm thinking, wow, this year is really flying by. That's alarming. No,
but I do remember a day I was there watching it live with Bonnie.
So State Rep Max Abramson was one of the people who stood up to speak in favor of the bill. It was more like he was interrogating the people who were against it. Like he was trying to question one of the state reps who had spoken against it. And he brought up Ukraine and was asking, you know, do you think, he's trying to ask, hey, do you think, Ukraine deserves independence, basically? Whoever was in charge of the House at that moment, whoever was leading the House floor, wouldn't let him talk about that anymore.
Honestly,
that's about right.
I don't completely remember because I remember when Max Abramson went up, and I remember thinking, wow, I can't really hear anything he's saying. It was like, do you remember that, Ian? I remember he was wearing green.
Vaguely.
And I was just like, yeah, I can't really understand him.
It wasn't the best part of the entire affair. But the video is up for anybody that wants to see it. You can go to nhexit.us, and I think it's the second story down the page. If anybody has not yet seen it's about a half hour long, the full House floor discussion.
But that is interesting that he was not allowed to say things like that.
The exact quote was from Max Abramson, quote, do you believe that the people of the Ukraine have the right to resist Soviet military aggression, unquote. And then the speaker or whoever it was cut him off and said, quote, this is not anything to do with the bill, unquote. And I think really
well, that's the game they like to play, right? We ran into the same thing at the bill hearing before the committee, where they like to pretend that they suddenly had no ability to understand parables and metaphors and how one situation that is completely identical in everything except the proper nouns of the places involved could apply to this situation just as much as it does to this other situation. Like, they suddenly completely lost the ability to understand that the original 13 colonies seceded from the British Empire. And that, you know, if they could do it, so can we today. They completely lost the ability to understand that.
I think the person that shut Max up made our point for us in that this is actually the most powerful talking point right now for New Hampshire independence, is that right now the United States government is risking a nuclear war to some extent to help defend Ukraine's independence. And while Ukraine does deserve independence, it's very hypocritical to be forcing us to help Ukraine as taxpayers while at the same time forbidding us from having the same independence that Ukraine has.
I'm not sure I agree with the premise, but I get your point. There's another way to look at the Ukraine situation, and that is that Russia is trying to back up the independence of the Donbass region, who ostensibly voted to secede from Ukraine.
Yeah, I mean, I think a better way to put it would just be to say, you know, if Ukraine deserves independence, why doesn't New Hampshire?
Yeah, because most people believe that.
I mean, they will say they believe Ukraine deserves independence, but do they actually believe that, or do they believe that Ukraine deserves to exist as a sort of puppet shield of the United States or NATO? Do they really think that Ukraine should have the independence to say, no, you know what, United States and NATO, we don't want to have anything to do with you. We're going to ally with Russia. Because I'm willing to bet that most of these people who are like, yeah, Ukraine independence, if Ukraine allied itself with Putin and Russia, they would suddenly oppose Ukrainian independence. To them, it's us
political.
Against them. It's not a matter of principle and actual independence. It's a matter of, Ukraine's a useful ally in their little, their saber-rattling against Vladimir Putin.
But I do agree with Dave Ribley that as far as, like, a talking point, like, just one of those blurbs, which is all the American people really actually care about because they don't think about things in terms of principles, just the blurb. Does Ukraine deserve independence? They'd be like, yeah. And why is the United States fighting against that for New Hampshire? I think that might make some people think.
Well, the United States, the federal government at least, has yet to weigh in on the subject of New Hampshire independence.
Well, they weighed in when Texas had that question on the, they had like whitehouse.gov or something after the Obama 2012 election, and they got 100,000 signatures from people who wanted them to answer the question about Texas declaring independence, and they said, we settled that with the Civil War. That was the official answer from Obama's White House.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that's worth talking about because what he's basically saying there is not just, we settled this long ago and we used violence to settle it. It's, as Thomas Paine pointed out in the Rights of Man, what we have in this situation is rule by the dead, where because these dead people determined this thing, I mean, that's the most insolent of tyrannies was the phrase that Thomas Paine uses. There's no, we can't hold the dead accountable for the decisions they made. That's worse than any amount of taxation without representation that we can imagine, is that we're represented by no one, because dead people are the ones who make the decisions for us, and they represent no one because they're dead. And that's essentially what the response was by the Obama administration. That, hey, look, these dead people decided this thing, and it's clear the founders intended the union to be perpetual. And then there was a lot of blood shed about it. So all of these people who are now dead get to decide how you're going to live your life. And it doesn't really matter what you, the person living, wants, because the dead made this decision.
Ridley, anything else?
Ridley, are you still with us? Oh, I hit the wrong button. Are you still with us, Ridley? Anything else? Yeah, go ahead.
I guess I have to turn it into a rhyme.
All right, well, give us a call when you do and let us know how that goes. Of course, you're invited to weigh in. 603-283-6160. There's more coming up about Shapeshift and a Central African Republic. The Central African Republic, actually, because that's the name of the country. Accepting Bitcoin as legal tender, becoming the first African country to do so. It's Free Talk Live.
You trust your mother, right? She's always taken care of you and always tried to give you good advice when you ask for it. And sometimes even when you don't. Well, even though she might not mention it, Mom very likely has neck, back, and shoulder pains. And she needs relief. So trust this good advice. Give back to Mom this Mother's Day with quality products from Sunnybay. Like our disposable heat patches. They're back in stock now and target neck and shoulder pain in adults of all ages. Or our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. Mom can heat them in her microwave, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews on Amazon when you search Sunny Bay Heating Wraps. And shop now in time for Mother's Day. There's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find us on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll-free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.